Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like for us to begin our nice showery evening. I needed this shower. I didn't get any of that Saturday night. I do need a little shower out there. Grass is turning brown already. All right. Brother Kevin, I'm not going to say that. Brother Kevin, would you lead us in a word of prayer as we open? Garbage man.
Can you pray with me? Our only righteous Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the time that we've got to come together now to open up your word, to study your own, to speak what it is that we can do to become more Christ-like and more pleasing to you and to be a shining light in the community. We will teach you to be here tonight and give them ready recollection of the things that they have prepared. We will open up our hearts and minds to always be your will. Give us the opportunity to share your work with others, and help us to always have that confidence that we can do so boldly and confidently. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For this month, I'd like to look at the book of Colossians, and we'll be talking about that. Of course, as we get into these single books like this, there are 6 months of study in them if you really dig into them. So we'll rather lightly go over it and not to leave out the important parts if we possibly can. But there's a lot of good discussion here, a lot of good points. And I believe somewhere I read that, as historians and all say, this is probably one of the best relating to Jesus Christ books that are written in the letters by Brother Paul. So if you will, turn to the book of Colossians, and we'll say a few things about, to bring us up a little bit on the history. Of course, we know that Paul wrote this book to the church at Colossae, and let me get my names all straightened out here. I've learned to pronounce the names a little differently than I used to name them. Epaphras, and we'll talk about this a little bit, laying the groundwork of where we are located here on the map. I have Tim pull me up a map here that we kind of get an eyeball on where we are. And of course, as we look at this, we know the letter was, didn't get Rome on there, but anyway, it's on over here. That's where Paul was in prison at this time and wrote these letters. I believe Ephesians, Colossians, and the next one. What? Yeah. I didn't hear you, but that was right. Okay. The church in Colossae is right here. And of course, the main, as we will get into the study, we'll see that Paul came through here on his second missionary journey and stayed, I believe, in Ephesus 3 years preaching the gospel. And according to what we can understand is the whole of Asia here, Asia Minor, was converted. A lot of churches were established in that area. And of course, at that time, the Church of Colossae was also come together and established. The thing of it is, so many people say Paul established the Church at Colossae, and according to the words that we can decipher out of the scriptures here, he did not. But of course, there's always some doubt. There's always some doubt as historians, and they check this out and they check that, and so there's some disagreement on that as they try to figure it out. But basically, we will go with he did not establish the church, but of course he had a hand in it through Epaphras. And Epaphras, pretty well we understand, did establish the church by the teachings, and Paul with helping him there as he preached there out of Ephesus some 3 years. Now, from me, if you disagree with something I'm saying, speak up, because I'm a little rusty and I've had to do a lot of digging on this. And I remember teaching the journeys of Paul and the times he spent there, and I've grown rusty on some of that, and it's all my fault because I don't stay with it. But, and if you have any comments, please jump in and comment at any time. That's what this class is going to be. I'm not going to have sheets. I'm not going to have things on the board for scriptures to read. I'll be reading from the New King James. And so help me out all you can. We'll make this a good class. I've got tonight and three more to go. All right. As we look at the church in Colossae here, we find that we will see several names. And of course, we say I have the name of Paul, we have the name of Timothy, and in the beginning here we have the name of Epaphras, I think is the way my pronunciation in my Bible shows it. So, right or wrong, I used to call it Epaphras all the time. So, anyway. We see these names come up, and of course, when we get to the end of the book, we have several names of Paul's men that traveled with him and preached with him, and we will discuss those in the finality of this lesson, of this class. Some of those names, I'll just go over those real quick, we'll find is Tychius, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Jesus, who was called Justice, and Mark, who was a cousin of Barnabas, I believe, Epaphras, Luke, Demas, Nymphas, and Archippus. And that, those are the ones, and most of those names will come up at the end of the study with us here. So just follow along with us, and we'll take these things pretty well verse by verse when we give a little bit more introduction to this chapter, to this book. We see that, and they name it, if your Bible has headings on certain parts of the chapter, Christ is in preeminence, or preeminent in creation. Christ is preeminent in redemption. And I might ask you what the word preeminent means. You know, Alice. Yes, John.
I would describe preeminence as there's nothing higher.
That's right. That's exactly right. Having, the Webster says, is having a paramount rank of importance, preeminence, the quality of that, of being preeminent, superiority. And, of course, we know that's what Jesus Christ was and bringing forth the gospel. One word that the eminence part of the word seems to me like that's used in another religion, his high eminence and so on, I think. But that's not what we're talking about, which it refers more or less to the same thing, I believe, in that denomination. So we're dealing with Paul, and let me just start with the first three verses here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul had nothing really bad to say about this. And he had high respect for this congregation, this church. And the main things that he had heard, that they were, you know, from the beginning, they were established, and they were a good working church. But Colossae, where it lies there, is at one time, it was really the main city, as I understand it, from Colossae another city to the south of it, and then up through there was a valley and a river, and on up toward Ephesus, which was a main route of coming in from different parts of the world, and all over the world it would be at that time in their trades and such like this. But because of this, when the church was established there, all kinds of different nationalities, the Jews, the Greeks, and in one place I read, even some Far Easterners were, you know, they all came through there. And bringing there, and of course hearing the gospel, they decided exactly the same thing that goes on in our world today, that, hey, we can't give up everything that we do and everything that we are, but we make it work with the Lord's work and with God, and to make a better redemption or whatever it might be. So you see how false religions come in. This was distracting the true believers and the people that were in Colossae from the beginning, and troubling them very much. And of course, it came down to the point that Epaphras. Yeah, he made a long journey, if you can understand that, from there. And I guess most of the time they had to travel by foot or camel or whatever they traveled by. And of course, some of it would be across the Aegean Sea and that, to go to Rome, so he could see Paul, who was in prison at this time, and talk to him and understand and get more teaching and what he could do about this. And so that's how this all happened. So that was his purpose, and that was the purpose then of the letter that was written by Paul, and the things that he said in high regard to these people, along with the teachings of Jesus Christ, reminding them, of course, as Paul, as I said, had a big hand in establishing the church, although it was through Epaphras that this took place. So as we look at this then, I think that's probably well enough. As we look at the first chapter here, this section I want to try to cover tonight is, and I'm having a hard time of that, but I told you, I'm out of practice. And I got other things on my mind, so that doesn't help. But the thing of it is, pray for me, Lord help me. As we go into the chapter again, I read again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So we understand that evidently Timothy was with Paul. Somehow or another they did this, and it seems as though, as we talk about some of the others at the end of this book, that some of those were with Paul, and however that took place as Paul was in prison. If they were in prison too, or if they were disabled and capable to be going with him and so on. And it seemed to me like, so I'll ask this to you that might remember. It seems to me like in our studies through the years that there were times that Paul wasn't actually locked in the cells or prison, the holes, whatever they had, but he was allowed to be free and go about or something. Yes, John, go ahead.
Yeah, some of the imprisonment that Paul was in, not all of it, but some of it, was like more of a house arrest.
Okay,
yeah.
That sounds right, yeah. Brings to my remembrance, yes. So that would explain then very well how these other disciples could be with him and such. And so let's read on then. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. He's writing this letter to them, the faithful brethren. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How great those words would be. I like to, everything that goes on in the scriptures, I like to liken that to us in this day and time, because we know how things creep in, we know how things go wrong, and how great it is for somebody, a good preacher, a good elder, whoever it might be, maybe within us, would say, grace be to you. Remember, through Jesus Christ our Lord and God our Father. John?
I remember one other point about being in prison, this area, in that time period. It wasn't like prison like today, in that you're given 3 square meals a day. If you didn't have someone bring you food, you didn't eat.
You did without.
Yeah.
Very well could be, and I understand. In those times, in the prisons, and the way things were, well, I'm sure that's true. It seems to me, in some of our studies through the years, that some of their encasement was in prison, as it would be. They had holes in the ground that they put them in and kept it covered where they couldn't get out. And then when they needed to, they'd tend to them or whatever. But that's way out there somewhere. I don't remember that well, and didn't have the opportunity to look into that any further. That would be into Roman history and stuff like that. You'd find out. But Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Paul's greeting to these Colossians, and how good that would be, as I just said, if we were in such cases of troubling and troubles going on, and to hear someone come in and say and give us that encouragement, how good that would be. So we can liken that to ourselves very easily through the years and through times of stress and troubles and things like that. But Paul says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the Lord, or in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Before we say more on that, we know that the words of Paul, I believe more than once, that the gospel had spread into all the world. And I think maybe somebody Sunday made mention of that. That was the known world of the world empire, maybe at that time. But that is pretty well taken from this case here, where Paul stayed in Ephesus and preached in Asia Minor, and many, many of the churches were established in Asia Minor during that period of time, through him, or some of them by him, but through him and these disciples, as such as Epaphras and others that were with him. And I'm sure, I believe Timothy was with him then, and some of the others too. So we can see how the gospel did spread at that time more than it had before. And it seems to me like that's where that term kind of comes from, as is recorded in the Bible for us. But the thing of it is, Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, how did he hear this? Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. This is why you stand strong. This is why you're striving to overcome these false teachers, or teachers, people that are coming in and trying to add to the Word of God, trying to make it a little different, bringing in their old ways. And some of this, we understand, was the Jews, of course, and the Greeks bringing some of their ideas in, and others that could have been. And I believe, I have a note here. At the beginning of the Christian era, in consequence of the decay of the national and popular religions, the combinations of belief, new and old, were being tried in the Lycus Valley. That's where this was. A hotbed of theology, Gnosticism, mysticism, and there were others too that What was the other one, Mom, that
The Hellenist,
yes, out of the Greeks and so on. So we see what was coming in. But we see, Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. They were not giving up the hope they had. I could say that for us, that no matter how downtrodden we might get in relationship to losing members or whatever it might be through the years, all of us have been through that one time or more. But we stand fast upon what we believe we're doing is the truth. Do we need to be corrected? We are ready and acceptable to that. But we have that hope within us through Jesus Christ our Lord and God that we are doing the right thing and we're striving to have the church and be with the church and be a part of the church. So that's what he's telling them there. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Referring back to as their congregation, as their church was established there, and the true truth was preached unto them, and they believed it and built upon that. The true gospel which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and in bringing and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ, on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Can you imagine Epaphras? Somebody correct me on that. Is it wrong or right? That's right. All right. Can you imagine how the great faith that he had and the great desire that he wanted to... Number one thing I overlooked, and you probably already realized, that Epaphras was... He worked with them. He is probably, through Paul, he established his congregation, and he was their main one there. And up till this time, it doesn't seem like he went to other churches, but he went here. He could have, but nonetheless, he was the main one to teach the gospel, to be true to them, and to bring forth the truth and work with them through what period of time this has been. And so the great desire that he has, and yet going and showing Paul the great faith that he has in the truth and striving to overcome the false teachings. Yes, John?
Paul probably, it's more than likely Paul planted seeds for his congregation and taught these individuals.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Probably with them at this point in time, as from what I'm seeing. So they both had a hand in it.
Oh, yes.
What Epaphras said corroborated what Paul said. They spoke the same things and taught the same things. Yeah. So they were in fellowship with one another. And it sprouted this congregation.
One thing that made the difference here was the gospel of Christ.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's the hope that they had, and they realized what was going on by these other teachings, using the Word of God as I understand it, but yet adding to that. One writer says they just didn't want to give up everything that they already knew, and some of it was some kind of false religions maybe. And of course, we know the Greeks and their gods and all of this, so we can see how these things could creep in. Dale, did you raise your hand?
Well, I
Oh.
More of a point of fact, it's more of a point of fact rather than a point of doctrine I think Epaphras was actually in chains with Paul at this time while under house arrest. Because we see the cross reference to him in about the same time when he wrote Colossians, he also wrote the letter to Philemon. And he does mention Epaphras in that letter as well as being in bondage with him.
Right. And Epaphras did not deliver the letters back.
Now, Tychicus, I think, is who ended up getting sent back to deliver the mail.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it tells that in the end. Onesimus was one of them, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, verse 8, I guess that's what threw me. Verse 8 says, who also declared unto us our love, which is spirit, was referencing Epaphras. So I thought he was with them currently, but I thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
Well, the thing of it is, the love for the Lord was there, and the love for correction was there, as Epaphras brought that to them, and you're probably right. I didn't dig into it that much to see if he was also encased in prison, or how they did it. But nonetheless, yes. And by the end of the book, I read the names that were there with him and going forth and so on that are named. Well, some of them he's sending greetings to, and so on. So it would be some of his faithful workers that he had gone through. All right, one question I want to ask as we back up here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. I want us to note how he wrote that and how he writes it in almost every instance when he brings up the name Timothy. Was Timothy an apostle?
No.
All right. No. No, he wasn't. And, of course, he is, by some people that talk about it, preachers and teachers, sometimes they try to make him an apostle, but he was not, and he's never referred to as one, which... there's one other that, as a Barnabas, I believe I made mention of the other day, that as we read through that, and there are writers that say, well, he was almost like an apostle or something like that. But we have to remember what the apostles were, and they were chosen, what was given to them, and the apostles, of course, passed this on to their workers that they had with them. All right, I did want to bring that out, and I went overlooked that. Sound like nobody has doubts about that one. All right. So, we've had good comments on that, and thank you so much for helping me out all we can. So let's look at verse 9 now. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossians as we look at this, verses 9 through 14, and that will pretty well cover what I want to cover here tonight. And I see how fast that clock moves. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Does that say anything about the prayer that we have for our sick, our loved ones, our erring brethren, or whatever it might be here and afar, whatever? We never cease to pray, do we? We never cease to pray. They're in our prayers, they're in our hearts, and our love for them, and the problems, and the sicknesses, whatever befalls us in this earthly life that we have. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood for forgiveness of our sins. As I read through this, studied through it, I think, I can't get up here and say too much more. It's really explanatory to me as we know we believe, we know we trust in the Lord, we know we pray for knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we can overcome, we can see through. And I've said it once, I've said it 50 times probably. We continue to learn all of our life, and I do. And I talked to someone Sunday, I said, as we study and as we grow older, we study again and again, and things come out different a lot of times. That you've been misinformed, or you strengthen in the thoughts that you do have. So it's good. And that's what Paul is saying here, that he will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And again, that comes down to us in this congregation or whatever congregation we might be in, that we are strength for each other, one another. And that is so important. And I'm going to have to quit there. Tim says that's it. You're probably glad I am. Anyway, anyone have comments? We'll try to dig into. I'll try to be better next week. I get in the rhythm of this and get my study down to applying to what Paul has to say and the encouragement that he's striving to give to these people that the church might stand.
Praise on, brother.
All right. Thank you.